Tonight we are continuing our study that we've been doing for the last several Sunday nights on Read the Bible for Life by George Guthrie, and tonight we kind of round a corner and heading down the home stretch of our study, and the last four studies that we'll be doing are more practical. And so for the last 8 weeks we've been looking at different sections of the Bible, different genres of the Bible, and how to read and apply those and apply rules of interpretation to those sections of the Bible. But now we're going to turn to some more practical matters of how to take the Word of God and apply it to areas of our life. And our theme tonight is on reading the Bible for personal devotion. So using the Bible in our times with the Lord, times of prayer, times of meditation, reflection. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 shows us the importance of the Word of God for our spiritual lives when it says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." In Christ we are saved. Through His work we are saved. But what Peter's reminding us is that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never complete. We're never finished. It's an ongoing journey that we have in Christ. And the Word of God is an essential component of our nourishment in that growth process. And so we need it to feed ourselves and to grow. Just a few opening thoughts as we think about reading the Bible for personal devotion. One is that across the board, especially in American Christianity, a lot of church-going Christians are what I would call biblically illiterate. Now, they know how to read the Bible, and they have read the Bible at times, but they're almost functionally illiterate, if you know what I mean. They have maybe a very, very basic understanding of the Bible, but not enough understanding of the Bible, not a broad enough or a deep enough understanding of the Bible that it really has sunk down deep into their hearts and transformed their thinking. And when we are biblically illiterate, it hurts our walk with the Lord. It hurts our personal devotional life. And really one of the main points that George Guthrie is making in this study tonight is that if we are not feeding ourselves with the Word of God, our prayer life is going to suffer. Our prayer life, our devotional life, our spiritual walk with the Lord is going to suffer. We need the Word of God, and that's one of the reasons why we are going through this study, is to help us read the Bible well, to understand what we're reading, and to make distinctions between Revelation and Proverbs, or between Isaiah and Genesis, and see that we need to read these documents differently and apply them differently. We want to read it well so that we can know how to apply it, so that we can meditate on it, so that we can put it into practice in our lives. And when we don't have a really good understanding of the Bible and of its message, it hurts our personal devotional life. The flip side of that, the opposite side of it, and we'll be looking at it a little bit more from the positive perspective tonight, is that our personal walk with the Lord and our times of prayer will be greatly enhanced by being saturated with God's Word. When you think of saturated, probably the first thing that you think of is like a washcloth or a sponge holding liquid. And you put water into a sponge and you fill it up so much that it can't hold anymore. It's just, and you pick it up, and what's happening with that sponge? If that sponge is saturated with water, then it's dripping, isn't it? It's just overflowing. It's dripping with water. Same thing with a washcloth. Before, if you dip it, submerge it completely in water, and you pick it up before you wring it out, it's just, water's just coming off of it and dripping from it. It's saturated, overflowing with water. That's what we desire for our lives as believers. We want the Word of God to be in us so much that it can't help but flow out of us. That it overflows in our actions, in our words, in our decisions that we make. We're just so influenced and saturated by the Word of God that it shapes who we are. And when that happens, it will also have a profound effect, a transforming effect on our personal relationship with the Lord in our times of prayer. And so my encouragement tonight is really to get deep into the Word of God, to become saturated with the Word of God, so that it will enhance our relationship and our communication with the Lord. So here's a key question. And maybe as I was talking about that, you were thinking about your own life and thinking, man, that doesn't really describe my life. Sometimes I don't feel like my life is saturated with the Word of God. There are times when I struggle with consistency in reading the Bible. There are times when, maybe if I'm consistent, there are times when my reading of the Bible and my prayer life seems stale, seems dry, or seems repetitive. So why is that? Well, one key question is, why is it so hard to maintain a consistent devotional life of Bible reading and prayer? And he gives us in this study several things to help us with that. And one thing that we need, I think, to help us with both the consistency as well as to avoid the staleness is we need to delight in God's Word. So we need a love, we need a joy, a delight in God's Word. And I think one thing that can steal our joy in reading God's Word and maybe makes us prone to inconsistency and prone to staleness is we look at Bible reading as a task. I'm guilty of that. And Bible reading schedules are great. And they're very, very helpful. And I mean, I put them out at the beginning of the year. And so they're helpful, but sometimes, and I found this to be true in my life, that when I have a schedule like that, and I'm very task-oriented by nature anyway, that I can let Bible reading deteriorate into just a check mark on the list. And it's just one other thing that I need to accomplish that day. And that's not a healthy place to be. If we're in that place and we're just thinking, I got to do this because I need to check it off and I got it done today, then we're not really delighting in God's Word. And if you feel overwhelmed by a read through the Bible in a year program, and if you feel like committing yourself to a read through the Bible year program will lead you into that just check it off kind of mentality, then I would encourage you to not do it. Don't do a read through the Bible program. Start with something smaller. Start with something that is less intensive. Start with something that you might enjoy more so that you can develop a love and a delight in God's Word. And so maybe start with the gospel. Say, I'm going to read Matthew or John. And I'm not going to go through it fast. I'm just going to go through it maybe a chapter a day. And just maybe set up a schedule for yourself that doesn't lead you into that thinking of, I just got to get this done and check it off. Because we want to delight in God's Word. And so one problem is we look at it as a task. Another problem that leads us to not delight in God's Word and to become stale and leads us to inconsistency is that we're just reading. We're only reading. Reading is good, but we need to go beyond that. And so the solution, one solution to help us delight in God's Word is to meditate on Scripture. Reading plus meditation. Meditating on Scripture. So now, when you think meditation, don't think far Near East or far Ancient East, going to a yoga position and saying or anything like that. That's not biblical meditation. Eastern meditation wants you to empty your mind. Biblical meditation wants you to fill your mind with the Word of God. So there's a big difference. So Eastern meditation is just get rid of everything so you can go into a state of calmness. Biblical meditation is we want the Word of God in our minds, saturating our minds to think about Scripture. And so how do we meditate on Scripture? Really, meditating is nothing more than just thinking deeply about the meaning and application of Scripture. Slowing down and thinking, hard, thinking long about a particular passage of Scripture. And if you think, meditation, you know, that's just not for me. Well, in the Bible, meditation is not lifted up as a suggestion. Meditation is lifted up as something that is good for all of God's people. So meditation is something that is lifted up in Scripture as a normal part of a believer's devotional life. Let me give you just a couple of scriptures. Psalm 77, verse 12 says, I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Now, there in that particular verse, what is the psalmist meditating on? Well, he's meditating in particular not just on God's word, but he's meditating on the things that God has done. His great deeds, his mighty works. And so he's getting specific. And if this is David in Psalm 77, then I can't help but think that he's thinking about all of the great acts that God has done in Israel's history. The call of Abraham. The deliverance of his people out of Egypt in the Exodus. The giving of the law, God's precious word at Mount Sinai. Delivering Israel from their enemies as they were traveling to the promised land. Delivering the promised land into their hands. And so lots of great and mighty acts that David is thinking of. In particular, it's very specifically. And so meditation is not emptying. Meditation is purposeful. Meditation is filling. It's thinking hard and deep about God's truth and about what God has done in very specific ways. Psalm 119, verse 15 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. And so meditation is lifted up in Scripture as something that is good for God's people to do, not just to read, but to meditate, to think, to reflect on the truth that is contained in God's Word. And so how do we meditate on Scripture? We need to slow down. We need to slow down and linger over the meaning of passages, verses, phrases, words. And so you can't do that with all of your reading. You can't do that with all the Bible. But if you're in a reading plan, then what you can do is you can read a chapter or two chapters or three chapters, whatever your plan is, and then select out a passage, select out a paragraph or several verses that you want to particularly reflect on and think about what it means and how it applies to your life. And so slow down and linger over the specifics. Probe the passage. Investigate by asking key questions like, what? You know, what's going on here? Who are the key characters involved? Where is this happening? When is this happening? How is this happening? And one of the key questions is why? You know, what's going on here? What is God trying to communicate here? Why is this here? And you may be thinking, I don't even have time to read, let alone meditate. What if I'm just too busy? What if I'm too busy to meditate? Here's my encouragement to you. Don't skip it. Don't skip meditation. If necessary, read shorter passages. And so if you're feeling crunched in your time because you're trying to read three chapters a day to get through the Bible in a year, but you have no time to think and reflect on God's Word, then maybe you need to reduce your plan and maybe be less optimistic in what you're able to accomplish in a year and think, I'm going to read just one chapter and then I'm going to think about what I'm reading. I'm going to delve into a particular passage and meditate on it. And so maybe cut your passage shorter so you have time for meditation. If you are reading longer portions, then select out some key verses or passages to think about. Just like you need to schedule times for reading, maybe you need to schedule some times for meditation. Carve out some dedicated time where I can just think on Scripture. And let me just take a time out here for a moment and think about our world in which we live in. Schedule slow down times. That is so countercultural to our world today, isn't it? Our world today, and especially American culture, is faster, faster, faster. Everything is faster. We have to have everything now. Now, I was just thinking about this the other day, but, and I'm not that old, but I remember not too long ago when nobody had a cell phone. Let alone, you know, an iPhone, and you have access to the internet at the touch of your finger. Nobody even had a cell phone. I mean, unless you were some salesman, traveling salesman, and you had one of these bricks, you know, that you held on the side of your head or had to plug into your car. Nobody had cell phones. Nobody had an iPad. Nobody had pagers. Nobody had internet. Until the mid to late 90s, the internet, nobody had it. It's not that long ago. Think about how rapidly our society, our culture has changed in about 10 to 15 years. That we've gone from having access to no information except for what we could get on the nightly news or in the newspaper, to now we have access to information in a split second anywhere in the world. And so now we catch the news not by watching the news at 5 o'clock every night, but we get the news because somebody texts us on our phone, or we get a Twitter message, or we get a Facebook update. And so we find out the news that way in the span of 2 minutes. Slow down times. And so you gotta take your technology sometimes, and you got to put it down. And you got to turn it off. And you got to walk away from it so that you have time for real relationships. Real relationships with God in your Bible reading and your prayer time, and real relationships with people that you can actually see face to face and have a conversation with, not just with your thumbs. There's value in that. There's value in slowing down and taking time to do that. And so schedule out some times to do that. You may need to use some creative times to meditate. Like what? Well, like when you're driving. That's a great time to meditate. But in order to meditate while you're driving, you have to turn off. You have to turn off your radio or turn off your CD player. Keep your eyes open while you're praying or meditating. But that's a great time. If you can keep focused and if you can keep the Word of God in your mind, maybe something that you just read. Maybe you have your quiet time in the morning before you go to work. You read the scriptures and then you go get in your car. That will be a great time to meditate because the Word of God is still fresh in your mind and you're thinking through what you just read. Use creative times. And remember, it's not a to-do list task. It's something that's a part of a relationship between you and God. It's not a to-do list task. One thing that's important for us to remember is that we need to somehow balance meditation and big picture Bible reading. So it's not like I'm saying give up one for the other. We really need both. We need to read larger portions of Scripture. We need to work our way from Genesis to Revelation so that we have a sense of the whole big picture, reading large chunks of Scripture if we can at a time. But then out of that, we need to also pull out some passages where we can slow down and meditate and think on what the Word of God is saying to us. And so have a plan to read through the Bible. But also use a plan that includes some variety. And this may be one way to help you integrate meditation into your Bible reading, is if you have a plan of reading through the Bible in a year, there are many different plans that you can use. Lots of different plans. Some plans that just take you from Genesis to Revelation, start to finish. One plan that I put out earlier this year was kind of more of a chronological Bible reading plan that took the Bible kind of in the flow of history as things unfold. Another plan, and this is the one that George Guthrie was talking about when he says use a plan that includes variety, is a plan that maybe reads from different portions of Scripture. And so maybe you have three or four chapters that you're reading from, but they're from different places in the Bible. So you're reading from Genesis and maybe a psalm, maybe from a prophet, Isaiah, and then maybe in Matthew. And so reading these different places, you will find something that you can grab hold of that you can meditate on and think deeply about during your day. This is not something that George Guthrie mentioned, but one tool that can help you in that, one tool that I would highly recommend to you is a daily devotional by D.A. Carson, Don Carson. It's called For the Love of God. And it's a really great devotional. He's got two of them, so you could do it over the span of 2 years and not repeat. But what he does is he takes Robert Murray McShane's reading plan, which is this kind of a reading plan, where you've got four chapters in four different spots in the Bible. That brings in some variety. And then what he does in his devotional is he selects one of those passages. So he selects one of those chapters and then has about a one-page devotional drawn from that one chapter. And so that may be a way to help you cover the Bible, but also to meditate on specific portions of Scripture. And so I would highly recommend that devotional to you. And so we need to read the Bible, slow down and meditate, and we also need to integrate our Bible content, our meditation, what we're reading and thinking deeply about. We need to integrate that into our prayer life. And so thoughtful biblical meditation leads to fuller and a more enjoyable prayer life. A Bible-saturated life leads to a better prayer life. And one way that we can do that is to pray through passages of Scripture. I put in parentheses, with your eyes open. That's okay, you can do that. You can pray with your eyes open. And one way that you can do that is you can pray with the Bible open and maybe a passage of Scripture that you just read, maybe from a psalm. And you can think through that psalm, read through it, meditate on it, and as you're meditating, that will lead into things that you can pray about. And so pray the Scriptures. Pray through passages of Scriptures. Oh, the Psalms are great for that. Paul has several prayers scattered throughout the New Testament that are great prayers that you can just take the prayers, take the words of Paul and pray them for yourself, pray them for your family members, pray them for your church. Fantastic prayers that are God-centered, that are spiritual life-centered. And so pray through passages of Scripture with your eyes open. And I think if we do this, if we not only read but meditate and then try to meditate and apply it to our lives and then integrate it into our prayer life, it will help us move from drudgery to delight. So that we stop looking at it as just as a task to accomplish into more of a delight, something that we enjoy. And so as you pray through Scripture, pray through a passage with maybe yourself, maybe some needs that you have in your life. Pray with that in mind. Pray with others in mind. And so maybe as you're reading through a psalm, think about the struggles that you're going through and pray that psalm for yourself. Or maybe you think about somebody that you care about, maybe a friend, a loved one, another church member. Pray that psalm for them. Pray it for them. And so keep in mind the people in your life as you're praying through the Scriptures. And psalms are a good place to start. Psalms really are people singing to God, praying to God, voicing to God out of the emotions that they're feeling because of difficult times. And so psalms are a really good place to pray through Scriptures. Also the New Testament letters, because there's so much practical in the New Testament letters. And so those are some suggestions. Really, you can pray through any part of Scripture, but some Scriptures will lend themselves more to directly into our prayer lives. And so we want Bible-saturated prayer. What are the advantages of Bible-saturated prayer? Here are several. Some that George Guthrie mentions, and then a couple others that I thought of as well. Here are some advantages to Bible-saturated prayer. One, it brings variety to stale, repetitive prayers. I don't know about you, but I am definitely guilty of this, that a lot of times my prayers end up saying the same thing, using the same phrases, same words, praying the same requests. Scripture can help us with that, because Scripture gives us new themes. Scripture gives us new phrases, new vocabulary. Scripture helps us to think about things that maybe we don't often think about. The more that we're saturated with Scripture, the more that we can bring into our prayer life, and it will give it variety and enliven it. It awakens the imagination. Especially some parts of Scripture, they're very, very figurative, very imaginative. The Psalms are very emotional, very emotive. Some of these Scripture passages can really do a lot for our imagination and help us to think about what God is doing in the world in big ways that we wouldn't think about unless we're trying to integrate scripture and prayer together. So I already mentioned providing new themes and vocabulary for prayer. But it also anchors our prayers to biblical truth. And so instead of our prayers wandering off into either selfishness or into idolatry or false ideas of God, Scripture anchors our prayers so that when we pray, we're praying biblically. And our prayers then will have a greater tendency to be in line with God's will. 1 John 5:14 to 15 says that if we pray in accordance with God's will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we have what we asked of Him. And so there is a chain there from we pray, if that prayer is in line with God's will, God hears that prayer and He answers that prayer. Well, if our prayers are biblically saturated and our prayers are influenced by the priorities of Scripture, then our prayers will have a tendency to be more God-centered, mission-centered, gospel-centered, Christ-centered, and more in line with God's will, what He's accomplishing in the world. And so our prayers, if we're biblically saturated, our prayers will be anchored to biblical truth and bring them in line with God's will. And other thing about Bible-saturated prayer is it reminds us of the fact that we're in relationship with God. And bringing the two together makes it a conversation. A conversation between us and God. Because God speaks to us through His Word that He has revealed. And we speak to God in prayer. And so it brings together the two lines of communication that we have with God. And they influence each other. Bible, our Bible reading, and our prayer lives, it really is a cyclical relationship. That the more that we read the Bible, the more that we become Bible saturated, the greater our prayer life is enhanced, and our relationship with God becomes more fruitful, more full, more joyful, and that in turn will influence our Bible reading as well. It's a cyclical effect. And so here are some closing thoughts as we finish our time together. If you've struggled with consistent Bible reading, if you've started a Bible reading plan and fallen short, and I've done that. If you've started a Bible reading plan and you hit the last half of Exodus or Leviticus and you hit a wall, then don't give up because it is doable. A consistent Bible reading, consistent meditation, consistent prayer life is doable. It is possible. Don't turn it into a task. And if it feels like it's becoming a task, then lessen your load. Lessen your load, lessen your ambitions so that it becomes a joy, not a drudgery. And so consistent time with God is doable and it's also enjoyable. It's also a delight when we view it as part of a relationship with God who is our true source of joy. And so my encouragement to us really tonight is kind of simple, and that is immerse ourselves in the Bible so that it will influence our relationship with God in prayer and all of our daily activities. Immerse ourselves in Scripture so that it will influence our relationship with God in prayer and all of our thoughts and actions. And I leave you tonight with Psalm 119, verse 16, that says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And I think in that verse, there's a key for us. How do we not neglect God's word? How do we stay consistent in our time with God and in Bible reading and prayer? One way to stay consistent in it is to make it a delight. Make it a delight. Make it a joy. And so don't look at it as a task that you have to accomplish. Look at it as a relationship that you can enjoy. And I pray that God's word will come into your heart, saturate your mind, your life, and that it will infuse your times of meditation, infuse your times of prayer with great fullness and joy.